Next question. What if your mother-in-law doesn't like you? What if your mother-in-law doesn't like you? So that depends, okay? If she can make believe she likes you, so you can make believe you like her, and that's fine. If she doesn't make believe she likes you, if every phone conversation she's telling your wife, no, has Shmerel found a new job? Is Shmerel still doing that stupid job he was doing yesterday? Has Shmerel started treating you decently? What a funny name, Shmerel. What's his name again? Right, you know those mother-in-laws? Hi, how are you? And how's, what's his name? All right, Shmerel, I keep forgetting. Right, yes. How is he? Has he started treating you nicely? So there is venom in those conversations. The pasuk says in Mishlei, "Kemit lalea hayore chitzim zikim v'mavet." You can have a joker who is shooting arrows, fire, and death. Ve'amar alom sachekani. But then he says, "I was just joking." You were just joking? No, that's not a joke. You know, it's like the guy who yells at you across the room and says, "Have you stopped beating your wife yet?"
Not yet. I'm working.
Right? So, it was nice seeing you at the mental hospital last week. I'm glad to see you got out. Right now, what are you supposed to say? Right? So, you guys are laughing. It's okay. So, sometimes people will say a joke, it's not at all funny. Mother-in-laws can be a tremendous problem in a marriage. And if a mother-in-law decides she doesn't like the son-in-law, she can definitely be a formidable force that will ultimately destroy the marriage. There are three major causes of divorce. There are three major causes of problems in marriage. One of them are in-laws. And if in-laws decide that the son-in-law or the daughter-in-law is not good, they can destroy a marriage. They can. They might not destroy it the first day, they might not destroy it the first year, but eventually they can break through. They can definitely get to their child and get them to see everything in a bad light. I'll give you a small example. If I were to say, okay, Mr. Frank, okay, my invisible friend Mr. Frank over here, if I were to tell all of you when he went to get a drink, and I would say, you know, my pal here, Mr. Frank, I wish you were more considerate of people. I wish you would take people's needs more into account. I just said one line. As he went to get a cup of coffee, he comes back, he sits down here. At that moment, he will annoy everyone. Every time he has a question, you'll start wondering, couldn't he have waited? His question is more important than everyone else's question. If he sits next to you and he made you a little bit tight with your feet, you'll suddenly, what will ring in your mind? There he goes again, right? That's what Ronald Reagan did to, who was it, to Carter, there he goes again. Wasn't it Carter? Every time Carter would talk, Ronald Reagan would go, there he goes again. And eventually he made him feel like an annoyance. He was able to do that. So in-laws can definitely be a destructive force in a marriage to the point of divorce. So a person shouldn't underestimate the destruction that in-laws can wreck in their marriage. And that's why I say it depends. When you say the mother-in-law doesn't like you, well, it depends on how much she doesn't like you and how much she's vocal about it. Again, if she could fake it, if she could be decent and civil to you, so you be decent and civil to her and you manage. But if behind your back she's sowing seeds of hate in your spouse, so then you have to realize you have a challenge. And then the question is, how do you deal with it? And very often, the way to deal with it is to get someone external to talk to your spouse. Because most people, if they're forced to choose between their husband and their family, will have a very hard time choosing their husband. A smart husband doesn't put his wife in a position where she has to choose. You could think your father-in-law is a bum. You could think it's obvious that he's a bum. He's running his family into debt. He's gambling. He's drinking. He's doing everything wrong. But if you come home and you keep saying it to your wife, every time you say it, she has pangs that hurt her. Because somewhere deep down inside, that's my dad you're talking about. He was the first one to give me a pony ride. Whenever things were great, he'd carry me on his shoulders. That's my dad. And you're thinking, so what? The guy's destroying his family. The guy is doing terrible things. Doesn't mean she can see it that way. So you will usually find it almost impossible to deal with such a problem within your home. Meaning if it reaches these proportions, so then a smart husband will find a way to get an external source that can help. An external source, if they're smart enough, it could be a counselor, it could be a rabbi, even though I prefer a counselor, will hopefully help the spouse, will help them overcome. And if you do it, then it's you versus them. If it's someone who's impartial, then very often they can bring them there. Quick story. There was once a couple where the girl was an orphan. Her dad had passed away when she was young. And her mom was always saying, you guys have to come to my house more, and you aren't giving me enough attention, and I'm a poor widow living all alone, and this was my daughter who was my best friend, and now that she's married, I want to help you, I'll make Shabbos for you. And anytime they wanted to go away for Shabbos, they'd have to give an accounting to her. She'd call up and say, where are you for Shabbos, and why aren't you coming to me? But you were by his parents last week, and now you're going 2 weeks in a row? That's not fair. And then they'd say, yeah, but his brother has a birthday, or his brother is just starting yeshiva, or we wanted to make his mother happy because it's their 10th anniversary, or who knows what. No, they'd have to give an accounting. So we sat down to meet. Now, this only works if you've won a certain amount of trust. I said to the wife, are you willing to work on a solution? She said, yeah. I said, you realize that if you want to build your marriage, you're going to have to take certain steps. Okay. And then I asked the husband to wait outside the door. And I said to the wife, you know, you're giving him a message that he's second fiddle to your mother. And you have to decide if you're willing to change that message or not. But it's going to take a lot of strength on your behalf. Are you willing to do it? She said, yes. So I said, then you have to tell your mother a rule. And when she breaks the rule, you have to respond. You have to tell your mother, you're not allowed to ask us where we are for Shabbos. We're going to make our decisions, and whenever we can, we'll come to you. And if you keep asking us, then I won't call you. I won't call you. You're not going to hear from me. And I told her, and your mother's not going to live up to it. She's going to test your rule, and you'll give her one strike. The first time she tests your rule, you're going to say, Ma, I don't want to have to do it. I asked you, please don't force me. But if it's going to happen again, I'm going to have to stop calling. And then when your mother breaks the rule again, then you wait a month and you don't call. And your mother's going to call and whatever, and you're going to be busy every time she calls. You'll send her an SMS back. Sorry, Mom, busy today. I can't talk right now. Give her that derech eretz. But you won't talk. And after a month, you'll and I said, but be prepared. Your aunts are going to call you. Your cousins are going to call you. The whole family's going to say, what a horrible daughter you are. Your mother's a poor widow. And how could you do this to her? But you have to be tough. And if you're willing to work the system, then the first time it'll be a month. The second time it'll be 2 months. And you probably won't have to reach a third time. And they lived happily ever after. I think they had to do a second time. But then the mother saw. They set a limit. Now, I'm just telling you part of the conversation. There are other parts, the components of the conversation, such as very often people invite the problems on themselves. Very often people are doing things that are giving cues to the other side. I ask you, when do you want to meet? And you say to me, well, when do you want to meet? And I say, okay, tomorrow at 5. And you walk away from the conversation and you say, he's so not nice. Why did he have to tell me tomorrow at 5? I have to change my whole day around. Wait a second. I asked you first when you want to meet. You threw the question back to me, so I gave you an answer. But I gave you the choice. But in your mind, when you threw it back to me, I should have thrown it back to you. I should have said, but I didn't. So now is it my fault or your fault? So very often in the styles of conversation, we invite problems and we don't see that our style creates the problem. So that's another thing to be thought about. When the mother-in-law is making problems, is it really her? Or is it the child that's calling the mother-in-law and complaining and sharing with them problems and creating that environment of conversation? So there are a lot of tools. My advice is, first check if it's as bad as you think it is. Is it really so terrible that it must be dealt with? Is there a nice way to make things nice? Even mother-in-laws that didn't like their sons-in-law, very often over time, when the son-in-law was nice and decent and he went out of his way to be good to them, they softened them, they liked them a lot, and they became a very good relationship. That can happen. But if it reaches a point where not, don't let it destroy your marriage. Go get help.